Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. I hope you're having a wonderful day. You are listening to or watching the Service Business Mastery Podcast. I'm one half of your host, Tersh Blissett, our other half the host. He's not with us today. We had some scheduling conflicts. We normally record on Wednesdays. And if you're watching this live and interacting with us, we are Thursday. We're recording on Thursday. And it's because of scheduling conflicts that I had on yesterday, so we couldn't get Brigham on to talk about part two of possibly three. We may be able to fit everything into this episode, but if not, go back and we'll have a part three, but go back and watch part one of this series here. We're talking 5 points. A lot of it has to do with Brigham's new book that is coming out, Something to Give. And if you don't know Brigham, he's a great, great guy and really has been influential within our entire industry and has been a wonderful guy as far as just helping out businesses grow in general. He owns Power Selling Pros. He's the founder, CEO, was a CEO. Of Power Selling Pros, and he is super influential in helping just grow our industry. So more than just helping CSRs grow and become better, he really is just helpful. I mean, he has multiple books out. Here's one of them, Patterned After Excellence. Great book. If you don't have a copy of this, let me know and I'll get you a copy of it. His new book that's coming out, Something to Give, it is actually on his website, brighamdickinson.com. If you are not there, or if you're not familiar where to purchase it, just go there and get your copy of it. Pre-order it, I guess is the best way to say it. But today's episode, we're going to talk about we're going to 2, 3, 4, and maybe point, the fifth point in this, in the book. And that's all has to do with, gaining freedom over income, freedom over time, freedom over anxiety and depression. And, we're going to talk about setting the vision of the business and then, working on your business versus working in your business. We say that a lot. We hear that a lot, but we don't always, say how to do it. That's the thing. Like a lot of times on podcasts, it's really easy to like give theories and, oh yeah, this is what you need to do, blah, blah, blah. But nobody says how to do what they're telling you to do. And this is part three. We're going to talk about working on your business, not in it, and how to do that. Part four is writing everything down and everything that you do seems kind of like a no-brainer, but there's a lot that goes into that step in itself. And then part five, what you're going to be working on now. So there's a lot of times where we start doing philanthropy things way before we should be. We should still be working on the business. There are times where I've been guilty of that with the podcast and putting the podcast over in front of my business. And it shows whenever that happens. Wherever you focus things, that's where the growth happens. And there are times where the podcast really grew and the business did not. And it was because of my lack of focus there on on the business whenever I was focusing mainly on the podcast. But yeah, so that's the other 4 points. I am going to add in the chat. Let me add it right now. The link to last week's episode. So if you missed last week's episode where we talked about the first point, and we also talked a little bit about the actually overcoming anxiety and depression as a business owner, it's a little bit longer episode, but there's a ton of really great information there. Go back and check that episode out. But with that being said, I want to give a huge shout out to everybody who make this podcast possible. The team over at with Josh and our team in the background, they're constantly doing tons and tons of things. But we are able to have that team in the background because of people like Justin Anova over at UpFrog. So if you have a clientele that you feel like you don't stay engaged with, UpFrog is the one to reach out to, because they do a great job of re-engaging the clientele. We've gotten tons of work where we just kind of let people slide out the, you know, the holes at the bottom of our bucket. We're constantly filling up a bucket with new marketing strategies and ideas. But some of the most underserved people are the people who are already in that bucket. And so UpFrog really helps us make sure that we stay engaged with those people. Sarah, Billy Stevens and his team over at Sarah, we recently swapped over to Sarah. We love Sarah. We love everything about them so far. We don't have any complaints. There are, it's a very simplified process on how to do CRMs. If you have any questions about CRMs, if you don't, if you're not using a CRM currently, you need to hop on and give them a shout. You can just click the link in the show notes and get you connected with the team over at Sarah. Emerson, they are doing Emerson and Copeland compressors. They are doing a ton when it comes to training technicians, helping you to train your technicians. That's one of the things that I feel like we drop the ball on a lot is training, especially whenever work gets busy, training kind of goes out the door. And Emerson and Copeland, they have really stepped up to help provide training and help teach the teachers, help educate educators on how to train, especially the little things that have to do with Copeland compressors and everything that's Emerson and Copeland related. So if you have any questions about that, reach out to me and I'll get you connected with the training team over there at Emerson and Copeland. And they're very, very well educated people. Actually, we'll have a few of them on the podcast here shortly. So last but definitely not least, Company Cam, digital asset management tool. We use that with our business, and it's great because for one, it grabs metadata and saves that metadata to the images. So therefore, we are able to store all that metadata whenever we upload those images to our website, and then Google crawls our website and shows that we've actually done work in those locations. So then Google's like, whenever somebody says, I need an HVAC company near me, or I need my AC repair company near me, Google sees that we've actually done work in those locations, and that helps boost our rankings when it comes to them. That's about it. We have a few other, I don't know if anybody's ever dealt with or tried out Interplay Learning. They're not an official partner, but they're great people. And we use Interplay Learning as a training software, virtual reality training software. I have that, the VR headset actually sitting right next to me. It made me think about it. If you've never tried that, shoot me a message and I will get you connected with the team over at Interplay Learning. It's very cheap for what you get. And I challenge you to definitely check Interplay Learning out. And with that being said, let's get started with the show.
Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hey, Brigham. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. All right. So part two here, we went typically our shows are about 30, 45 minutes. I think last episode, I think we went like an hour and 20 minutes. So it's great information. And I have tons of questions constantly. So it was great. So I definitely wanted you to come back on and let's finish up or at least try to finish up the last part of that. But
absolutely.
Yeah. So you want to give a quick recap for those who missed episode one? The link is there so they can watch it.
So we had 5 points originally, but our obviously we had a lot of great things we were talking about. So we end up talking about one and then our summary, right?
Yeah.
Step one and then our summary, which is how to overcome depression and anxiety. So if you missed it, definitely go back and listen in so that you can find out what we do or what we at least talked about to overcome depression and anxiety. It wasn't just anyone. It was actually specifically for leaders. Yeah. You know, when a leader gets to the point where a company is running by itself, you work so hard, it could be 3 years, it could be 4 years, it could be five, it could be 10, it could be 15, but you're the one, right? You're the one that's doing everything under the sun and having all the answers and being the hero to nothing, right? To crickets.
Yep.
And you don't realize how painful that is. Now I know some people are like, bring it on, bring on the silence, bring on the crickets. But you know,
once it actually comes there and you experience it, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's painful. It's painful. And stepping out of your comfort zone and switching what you do that fulfills you is going to be extremely important. And of course, that's coming from the book, right? Mm-hmm. Something to Give, book that's coming out September 19th. You can pre-order it now by going to brighamdickinson.com. But in that book, I outline how in the beginning, it was all about proving myself to contractors and my ability to make sure that their call handling teams are booking calls and wowing customers over the phone. And then proving myself to my team and then selling the team on the fact that this is where we're going and this is what we're doing. And it's amazing. It's incredible. It was all about proving myself over and over and over and over again. It was a lot of hard work. Over the last 15 years to get PowerSlam Pros where it is today. But as soon as it started running by itself, I experienced some depression and anxiety and still have spats of it here and there. But I find that the best way to overcome it is to get out there, turn outward and serve. It's a little counterintuitive, but by transitioning your motivation from something to prove to something to give, which is what the book is about, we begin to kind of turn our focus outwards, serve our people, serve mm-hmm. our customers, that sort of thing. Now, in fact, one of the reasons why I like to go back out and do training, it's kind of a selfish reason. I did a training in Kansas just yesterday. Steve Adele was slated for it, but I wanted to do it. I needed to do it, right? And it was a great opportunity to sit down with the technicians and the CSRs and train them up for their benefit as well as for mine. It was something that just I needed to do and continue to do it regularly just to stay sharp, right? Number one. And number two, remember how it feels, the passion behind what I teach and how I teach it and the drive behind it, and to see how they catch on and how excited they are as we help them speed up their progress, right? So, anyway, definitely listen on that podcast. It is an hour and a half unless you put it at 2.5 speed or 1.5 speed. Right? Can you imagine 2.5 speed? That'd be crazy.
Right.
But 1.5 speed would be just enough, and you can still get it in 45 minutes. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. All right, so let's start off with point number two of your the 5 points that you make. Now, are these all in the book?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay. 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 I wasn't sure. I haven't read my copy of it yet. So,
it's on your list of to-dos, right?
It's on my list of to-dos. I mean, I have a whole stack of these other Brigham books over here too.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. So step one, just by way of review, it's not a step that we can skip over.
Right.
In fact, I believe I shared a story in the last podcast that I did some tag-alongs with technicians, and the caveat, the condition was, is that you have to absolutely make sure that the call handling team is being trained and held accountable by an outside company. Of course, I suggest PowerSlam Pros. I realize that's a partial opinion, but we've been doing this for 15 years. We're very good at what we do. So if you want to make sure that you're the only ones coming out, that your company is the only ones going out to the customer's home, make sure that we're training them. And of course, that was my caveat, that my condition, in order to do these ride-alongs with these technicians. And so I did over 50 ride-alongs in 90 days, and they went from 500,000 in total gross service revenue to 700,000 in that 90-day period. So make sure that you're the only one going out to the home. Give your technicians a chance to go out there and build a relationship with the customer. Don't allow them to be one of four bids, five bids. Remember, people get bids, homeowners get bids because they have to, not because they want to. And if we can convince the customer over the phone they've called the right place the first time, well, then we're 911 and there's no 912. Help is on the way. So they hang up and they only work with us. So that's our goal, is to make sure we're the only ones going out.
Brigham, when you mentioned, I mean, you mentioned that, and we talked offline a little bit about this. How do you see things changing in our market? Because we all see these things changing, where even system replacement leads are down over last year, year before last, several years ago. We're seeing the actual call volume drop down, the lead volume drop down. How important is it that we're the only person there? I mean, obviously it's very important, and that's going to be the answer. It's like, duh, you have to be the only one out there. But what's your thoughts on the change in the market, where people aren't replacing systems as much, and they're going to what's probably a lower ticket item, like service repairs?
Yeah, so there's definitely a market downturn that we're experiencing, and we're definitely experiencing this downturn nationwide. It seems reminiscent, and I don't want to be a scaremonger, right? But it feels like the beginnings of 2008. 2007 was amazing. I mean, it was like order taking.
Yeah.
The customer would call in and they say, hey, I need air conditioning, I need a furnace, whatever that it is.
It feels like 2020 and 2021 was that way for home service companies. I mean, it, as weird as it was, we went through this transition of like, we have to mask up and we have to, you know, sanitize our vans every night. But when we looked at our numbers, like, we made money those years, those couple of years.
Yeah. And I'd say that we thought that 2021 was going to be bad, but we realized no, because everybody's sitting at home.
Exactly.
Everybody's sitting at home. They're using the air conditioner, and we started booming. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, those companies that started in 2017, 2018, 2019, and then experienced this kind of, you know, surprise boom in business. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they did very, very, very well. But I'd say that the 2008 is a bit different, because the calls that would come in would be a whole lot less, right? Because in 2007, everything was booming. Housing market was booming. Everything was going great. And those who were taking phone calls, I mean, it was like McDonald's. Hey, this is my order. This is my order. This is my order. It was easy, right? It was easy to book the call. You just needed a live human being, mm-hmm. right, to answer those phones. But in 2008, you started getting more and more phone calls where the customer would say, hey, what do you charge to come out? Hey, I think I just want to talk to a technician, right? And what are they doing there? They're doing a whole lot more shopping. They're wondering if they can do it themselves.
You know, I read your email that you put out on the 2nd. Which was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you mentioned was talking about not charging the consultation fee or the diagnostic fee, service charge fee, and how that conversation would go. Like, for us, the rule that I have in place is if they mention it twice, we waive it. You know, that might be the right thing, might be the wrong thing. I don't know. You're actually the expert on this when it comes to that. So
do you mind if I jump in and just?
Yes.
Go okay. Ahead. Thanks. So the first thing we want to do, first thing that we want to do is we want to make sure the customer feels understood, cared about, and reassure that they're called in the right place. Okay, now these are emotional needs the customer has. And you want to do this, in my opinion, if you're a technician, you throw your booties on, you knock on the door, customer opens the door. When you step in, again, the customer has an emotional need. They want to feel understood, they want to feel cared about, and they want to feel reassured that they're called the right place. You've got to do those three things first. Otherwise, they don't care what you have to say. They don't care what you have to offer because they don't feel understood and they don't feel cared about and they're not sure that you're the right company. All right. So you've got to take care of those emotional needs first over the phone as well as in the customer's home. Okay. In this service mm-hmm. business, it is all about service. And so our goal is to create a relationship of trust, right? Where they feel comfortable, they feel safe, they're having a little bit of fun. If you can create that environment, safety, comfort, fun, by the way, it's also how you get kissed on the first date, you guys. We can talk about that later. Okay. Safety, comfort, fun. Think about it. Okay. If the gal's not feeling safe, you're not going to get kissed, right? Nope. Mm-hmm. If they're not feeling comfortable, guess what? You're not going to get kissed. And if you're not having a little bit of fun, guess what? You're going to have a really sad first date. You're going to spend your money on food and not get jacked. Okay. Uh-huh. Safety, comfort, fun. Same thing applies over the phone. Same thing applies in the customer's home. So our goal is to help them feel understood, help them feel cared about, help them feel reassured. You've got to do that first. So how do you do that? Customer gets on the phone. They say, hey, what do you charge to come out? It's a great question. It really depends on your situation. Can you tell me more about it? And side note, Tersh, it really does depend, because if they want to replace their unit as opposed to fix it, well, we'll go out for free if you want to replace it. So it does depend. We're not lying here. We're not skirting the question. Right. We're not trying to throw them off, right, with our little magic tricks. We're simply saying, hey, I need to know more. Right. So, hey, what do you charge to come out? It's a great question. Can you tell me more about your situation? What's going on? And what am I doing there? I'm listening. Okay. Well, I've got this air conditioner. It's blowing hot air. My gosh, that's terrible. How long has it been doing that? That's me caring, right? Taking care of their emotional need to be cared about. Well, I woke up this morning and it's just blowing hot air. My gosh, it's so humid outside. That's not good. No, it's not good at all. Well, look, you've called the right place. We can help. When would you like us out? Well, this afternoon would be good. What just happened there? Okay, so we're not talking about the price of the service call at all. We're talking about listening, caring, reassuring, and then saying, well, look, we can help you with that. And then simply asking, when would you like us out? Well, this afternoon would be good, because that is what we want them thinking about, us mm-hmm. coming out. And don't be afraid to ask that question. Some people are like, well, what if we're booked up solid? That's okay. We have tools to help you book that call anyway. And Tersh, if you want, we can go off on down that rabbit hole too. But let's stay focused on the service call for right now, the charge, right? So let's say you get to, when would you like us to come out? And the customer says, you know, I really just want to know what you charge to come out. Totally understand. It's a great question. Here's what we do. What we do is we send out the technician. He comes out, he takes a look at the situation. He determines exactly what you need and he gives you a price before he starts. Now, to do all of that, there's an X fee, right? This is this fee. When would you like to come out? Okay, as soon as I'm done answering his question, I have a question of my own. What's that question, Tersh?
When we're coming out.
Exactly. All right, let's say they push back on that and they really don't want to pay that. Oh my gosh, X. Let's say the service fee is $2. I'm like, oh my gosh, $2. That's crazy, right? Mr. Jones, is it just the fee that you're concerned about? Yeah, I don't want to pay it. So if it weren't for the fee, you'd move forward with the appointment. Is that right? That's right. Okay, cool. Well, there's one thing that we can do. We've got a coupon online, and it basically will help subsidize the cost of the fee once you move forward with the work. Now, I'm not going to make you go online to find that coupon. In fact, you don't have to present it to your technician. I'm just going to put it in your notes to take advantage of this coupon. Mm-hmm. If I do that, is that enough for you to move forward with the appointment today? See what I'm saying? I'm just mm-hmm. moving forward with.
In that situation, concern. Are you still charging the service fee and then declining or discounting it if they make the repair? Or yeah, so are you just waiving question. It altogether?
That's a good question. So you'll notice that I've got two different plans before I even talk about whether I'm waiving that fee.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Because so it seems like. I'm going too quickly to waiving the plan or waiving the.
Yes. Okay. Slow down. Yeah. And I realize I'm talking fast. This is not, I'm not going to talk this fast. Yeah. When I'm working with a customer, I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression, especially if you're listening to this podcast at 1.5 speed, boy, it's going to be really fast, right? I'm obviously going to chill out and make sure that I'm connecting with the customer the entire way. But I did want to demonstrate the flow of those two options, right? So I give those two ways that I use in the beginning. If I still get pushback on the third one, at that point, I'm going to teach the CSR to use good judgment. Mm-hmm. If they are adamant about not paying the fee, and we have, if we have trucks, right, sitting there,
right,
and technicians that need to work, yeah, Mr. Jones, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to my manager, and I'm going to tell him that you're a customer that we want to work with for sure, and we want you to experience the difference between us and anybody else that's out there. If I can waive it, is that enough for you to move forward with the appointment today? Now, by the way, there's a condition there. I'm not just waiving it. I'm saying, if we can come out, if you will allow us to come out, I can get it waived. So I'm making an agreement here with the customer. I'm not just waiving it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you can say, yeah, I'll waive it. Okay, let me call you back and think about it. No.
Right.
Okay, there's a condition here. Right. And we're setting up the condition. If I do this, will you do that? Now, it could be a coupon. If I do the coupon, will you do that? And you'll notice that I said it'll help subsidize the cost of the repair once you move forward with the work. Right.
Exactly. That's what I had noticed that you said there.
Wording's important. You can
now
do...
how do you get the CSR to recognize that's a person that we want to work with versus this is not a person that we want to work with? They're going to beat us up on the price all along the way, the process.
Look at the board.
Okay.
Look at the dispatch board. If we've got trucks that need to get moving.
Yeah. Then we're going to waive it. If we're slammed for a week and a half, 2 weeks, probably not going to waive it.
We're going to go through plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, and we're going to do whatever we got to do to get him in by paying the dispatch fee, whether it's with coupons, whether it's a service agreement. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites. When somebody pushes back on a dispatch fee, that is an opportunity to sell a service agreement. Why? Because there's a whole lot more value involved in a service agreement than there is a dispatch fee.
Yeah.
We come out twice a year. We make sure it's running peak efficiency. You get priority service. You get a discount on all of our services.
What's your thoughts on pricing the service agreements? Because I hear things across the board where it should be $99 per house, no matter how many systems you have, to $275 per system, you know.
Yeah,
because
it depends on your strategy. And sometimes they charge by the month, and sometimes they charge for the year, and then renew it each year. I personally like monthly.
Same.
I mean, if you're able to say, hey, look, I can get you on a service agreement for $25 a month. What's crazy is people love payments. Technicians hate payments, right? They hate payments.
Yeah.
And we got to teach those technicians that you are a customer, but you are not your customer.
That's right.
And we
don't sell with your checkbook.
Yeah. So we're on the same page there. But yeah, I would love to do is make sure that my team of CSRs, when somebody pushes back on a dispatch fee, oh, I don't want to pay it on. Okay, Mr. Jones, is it just the fee you're concerned about? Yeah, it's just the fee. Okay. Well, if I can get you past that fee, would that be enough to move forward with the appointment today? Well, yeah. What do you got in mind? Well, I have this service agreement. It's awesome. Come out in the spring, come out in the fall. We'll make sure it's running peak efficiency. Best part about it is it helps prevent things like this. You know, the thing that you're dealing with right now from happening.
Right.
Now, if you wanted, what I'd like to do is get you on the service agreement as opposed to having you pay the dispatch fee. Now, the dispatch fee is $79, but the service agreement is $25 a month. So if you wanted, I'd get you on the service agreement and we can get somebody out there.
Plus you get a discount on the call.
On all the services we provide. That's right.
Right. Yeah. That's great.
Boom.
Okay. So
how's that for a tangent?
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. More clients, you know, they're going to call you because they have the service agreement with you.
And all the more reason right now to be selling service agreements with the downturn in the market. Okay.
Right.
Because once the
market turns back up, they're your mm-hmm. client as long as you've wowed them the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, we don't want to scare people, but that's what we're seeing in the industry.
Yeah.
We're seeing a downturn. We're seeing people that are booking more service calls than they are replacement calls. We're seeing the replacement calls being a little bit harder to close. And people are shopping a little bit more. They want a ballpark price. They want to know if your charts come out. They want to talk to a technician. All the more reason to train your team and say, okay, guys, every call that comes in, we got to take advantage of. And that's why I did so well back in 2008 when I first started this business. was because everybody was experiencing the downturn. Customers, homeowners were shopping like crazy, and everybody needed to be trained to handle the more cautious customer.
Okay, so set the vision.
Yeah, okay. So Church found out real quick that we might have to have a third one if we keep going like this.
Right.
So, here's the deal. So you want to make sure that you're the only one going out to the customer's home. It's really important.
Yeah.
When the customer has only you coming out, it gives you a really great chance of making something happen. Why? Because the reason why they called you in the first place is they either don't want to do it themselves or they don't know how. Okay. You've already got things going for you. Right. Otherwise, they would have gone to the Home Depot, right? They wouldn't even have called you. They're calling you because they don't want to or they don't know how, right? So now all we need to do is make sure our performance is incredible. Make sure that we're an orange, right? It's not an apples to apples comparison if your performance is just so incredible, right? And again, exactly. One more reason why they should be training. So as you do this with your team, and I highly suggest that you put on a technician uniform and spend time with your technicians in the field. Don't watch them do it. Just do it together as a team, right? The last thing you want to do is make it awkward for the technician or awkward for the homeowner by sitting there observing your technician the entire time. That's just dumb. You know, that's a waste.
You're sitting on the couch talking to the homeowner and the technician's working.
Oh, so you've been there. Yeah. So you got to be careful with that, but just go in there and do the work with them. This will give you two benefits. Benefit number one is that you're going to be able to learn some things from the technician, what they're doing, and you're also working on your own set of skills as well, demonstrating your skills to your technician as you're working together. And as you close it, boy, he gets commission on everything that you close. And so in a way, it's like, man, my boss is out here helping me, right? Making this happen.
Helping me make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're building a huge relationship. You're putting deposits in their emotional bank account. So you definitely want to do this. The other reason why you want to do it is you want to determine whether or not you've got a technician with a skill set you didn't realize before. And what I'm getting at here is leadership skills. Okay, not just leadership skills. I'm looking for ambition. Right? If you don't understand where your technicians are at and what they want to do with their lives, that's a mistake because they might leave and do something else. They might want to start their own business. So asking questions in between jobs and saying, hey, where do you see yourself with our company in 3 to 4 years? And let them talk, right? Let them dream with you a little bit. And if they say, gosh, I'd love to be a service manager, or gosh, I'd love to own my own company one day.
Well, what do you say to people who are, don't believe that technicians should move into the service manager or managerial roles? Only reason I ask that is because you look in the Facebook groups or whatever that have a lot of technicians in them, and a technician is saying, hey, I was just offered a job as the service manager of our small company. We don't have a service manager right now. How much of a pay raise should I be asking for? And for me, in my mind, I'm thinking you're moving into a completely different job that you have no skills, no expertise in. Depending on what you're making as a service technician, I don't know that you'd be getting a pay raise. It's a different job that you're technically not qualified for. You probably would be making less money doing what you're doing, but you have other benefits where you're not in a hot attic. You're not on call anymore other than helping technicians. So those are the benefits that you're getting from not being a technician and out in the field. But as far as getting a pay raise, I don't know that you should be getting a pay raise because you're not qualified to do the job.
Well, the thing is, it may not be about the money at all.
Right.
They're not necessarily motivated by the money. They're motivated by the opportunity to lead, by the opportunity to kind of have a change of pace.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. You're familiar with Mark Madison, right?
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal trainer, awesome book writer, been in the industry a long time. He started as a technician. Okay, he was a technician. So if I'm the owner of the company that he worked for, I should be able to notice that I have myself someone with extreme talent on my team. And if I don't provide opportunities for that individual inside my organization, I'm going to lose him. I'm going to lose all the talent that comes with it. And that's the point that I'm trying to make. The point that I'm trying to make is that individuals are on your team. And if you don't know who they are and what they're capable of, that they're going to go and do their own thing. Why? Because of that ambition, because of that drive. But if you can harness that ambition, harness that drive, you can keep them longer. And the longer they stay inside your organization, the more your company is going to grow.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me give you an example. Zach Garsheim, with my company for 8 years. Okay. This is a Gen Z, ambitious, talented, incredible talent on my team. The longer I had him on my team, the better my company did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I knew that sooner or later, he was going to come to me and say, hey, I'm going to start my own thing. Right?
Right.
But it was 8 years he was with me. And during that 8 year period where he helped me with COVID, he helped me with all the different ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of my organization, the more I kept him on my team, the longer I kept him on my team, the longer my team and my company benefited. Okay.
And you wouldn't know that had you not set your vision of what you're going to be doing, had the conversation with everybody.
You got it. So how do we keep them on? And that's where the vision comes in, right? Offline, we were talking about a book called Rocket Fuel, and it talks about integrators and visionaries. Well, the visionaries are the ones that see out into the future of what's possible for an organization. Whereas the integrator takes that vision and goes, okay, here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to get it done. And they actually put the systems and processes in place to make that vision a reality. And so Rocket Fuel talks about how putting both those individuals together in the same company in order for the company to grow, like, you know, with Rocket Fuel. And so it's a pretty cool book. But vision, having a vision, hey, talented person on my team, here's where we're going. Here's where we're doing. Here's why you want to be on this team. Here's why you want to stay here, right? And we keep them on the team, all right? So now what we do, we meet the technicians in the field, find out what they want to do, what their ambitions are, where they see themselves in 3 to 5 years. And then we take everybody in the office and we meet with them one-on-one. We ask them, hey, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years with our company? And just kind of see where they're at, what they want to do. There might be some who say, well, I don't see myself in 3 years. And that's an opportunity for you to decide whether or not you want to keep them, right? Whether or not you want to fight to keep them. What do you want to do in 3 years? Well, this is what I want to do. Well, hey, you're such a great salesman. You've been selling homeowners for years. Now it's time to sell your own team and keep them on your team, right? And so find out what their talents are. Write down everything they want to do in the next 3 to 5 years. Now that's number two, okay? Set the vision. And then number three is discover the strengths of your team. Okay, so that's number three. And then once you've done that, okay, we just zipped through two and three. Am I going too fast, Tersh?
Mm-hmm. No, you're good.
Okay, good. All right, so have that vision, right? Here's what we're doing. Make sure you've got integrators on your team to help you execute that vision. And then step three is to make sure that you understand the strengths and the talents that you've got on your team, right? Don't let them go elsewhere. Keep them. The longer you keep them, the better. And then what you're going to do is you're going to sit down and write down all the things you do on a day-to-day basis, all your tasks. Okay, this is number four. We write down everything that we do on a day-to-day basis. The thing that keeps us from working on our business as opposed to in it, right? The day-to-day tasks that we're doing. When we do that, there probably are going to be, 20, 25 things that we've written down. Once you have those 25 things, Tersh, I want you to write each responsibility on a sticky note and put it on your wall in your office.
What if we have 100 things?
Great. On your wall in the office, and it cannot come down until you've delegated it off to somebody else inside your team.
And that's delegating it completely?
Obviously, you're going to hold their hand for a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Yeah? Check hand for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the rule of thumb is they do it 80% as well as you do it.
That's the challenge that most people have, I feel like, is allowing people to make mistakes doing a job that you know you had to do perfectly fine.
So let's talk about that for a minute. when it was just you and I starting our own business, did we make any mistakes?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The thing is nobody was around to chastise us.
Very right? true.
So we had freedom to fail. Now our customers might make us hurt a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Or the lack
but
thereof.
So that's it. That's something that I found myself having a pain point with is like, I'm all for allowing my team to fail. As long as they're learning, fail forward. The challenge that I have is whenever it hurts our customer. So like it, either one, it hurts our customer experience. Our customer has to deal with a callback or has to deal with not getting the same level of customer experience that say, okay, so here's a perfect example. Julie, my wife, she was CSR for almost a year for us. Being the business owner's wife, being a partial owner in the business, there was a lot that like empathy that went into every conversation that she had with the client. And we brought on a team, a CSR and a dispatcher, and they don't have ownership in the business. And you could tell that empathy wasn't there, not the same empathy that Julie had. And the way calls were set up, and they were like, everybody has to be set up for success. The technicians must be set up for success. And almost as an hourly employee, it's almost too much for them to do. But being that she was the business owner, like she'd stay up all night making sure that these people were set up for success type thing. How do you make it okay for someone coming into that position doing something that you have done before really well, almost like that's the brand of your business. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to let someone else come in and not necessarily do it as well as you did.
Yeah. So 80% as good as the target. And I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is, dude, how do we get them to love what they're doing, love the company and be passionate about it? That's where vision comes in. Right. And that vision includes three things. It includes a company purpose, and it's kind of your North Star. That's the thing that we're going towards for the next 100 years, right? This is what we're all about. That's number one. Number two is a mission. And this is a specific and tangible goal that should be achieved in 3 years or less. Okay, so at PowerSlam Pros, it's 1,250 trainees. We're at over 1,000 now. We want to be at 1,250 trainees. That is a tangible, achievable goal in 3 years or less. Okay, our purpose is we serve the service-minded, right? We're all about developing self-confidence, self-reliance, and service-mindedness. Okay, in fact, that's what the book Something to Give is all about. It's about being more service-minded. Okay, more leadership-minded in serving your team and your fellow men. So the last thing you need inside of a vision is a set of core values. Okay, this is how you go about doing what you do.
Okay, so everybody has the core values on their wall. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And everybody says, that's our core values right there. And like you're doing your onboarding. All right, day one of onboarding, that's our core values. And then day two, you have to memorize them and regurgitate them to me. And then day four, they're history.
Okay, so they need to experience these principles in play in your interactions. Okay, so for me, it's positive attitude, it's preparation, it's listening, it's empathy, it's reassuring, asking the right questions, it's creating value, being valuable, and being grateful, okay? These are our principles, right? And I need to use them in my code of conduct day in and day out. It starts with me. Right. The minute they say, oh, see, dude, you didn't follow your own core values. I mean, look at you in this experience. And this, and side note, my second book, the book that you've got right there, Overcoming Human Tendency. Go ahead and show that one more time. Okay. Patterned After Excellence. You guys, if you find that you're having difficulty following your own principles that are on your wall, that's the book that you should get, and it'll help you tremendously. There's also an audio version of it as well. So Pattern After Excellence.
That's actually getting ready to ask.
Yeah, so Pattern After Excellence will help you recognize human tendency in a moment. Tersh, let's talk about that for just a minute, okay? How do you make sure that your team is drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak, yeah. Right? How do you get your core values off the wall and in the hearts and minds of your team? Well, it comes down to your behavior. If it is not in the hearts and minds of the team, it is likely to be the leader. And guess what? We're all human, and I'm as guilty as anybody else. Sure. I'm constantly working on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it starts with me, and if I'm doing it, and if I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, that's step one. Step two is repeating it in every one of our meetings.
Every meeting, repeat the core values.
Yes, yeah, so we repeat the core values, and then here's how we do it. We do shout-outs and breakthroughs. Okay, our shout-outs is where we say, hey, so-and-so did amazing. This person followed the pattern for excellence last week in that they were super positive when I called them, okay? And breakthroughs for myself. You know what? I was with this customer. I was feeling frustrated, and then I stopped myself in that moment. I just pushed pause mentally, and I started listening to the customer. And as I was listening, I began to realize where they were coming from and that they had every right to be upset. And I was actually there feeling their emotion with them. What am I doing? I'm listening, I'm caring. And so those are the breakthroughs and shout outs where we're using the principles week in and week out to transition from off on that wall there to in their hearts and minds.
So, but as a business owner, and I know people are listening to this thinking the same thing that I'm about to ask you, we have a gazillion things on our mind. And then we have our monthly or our weekly meeting on, say, Friday morning or Monday morning. And then I need to regurgitate all the great things that people have done. And I'm not a pessimist by heart, but what happens where we're thinking about negative things? Like, this is what we need to fix. You know, we had three callbacks last week on a clogged drain lines. Like, we need to be working on these issues. But I need to come back and say, all right, these are all the great things that were done last week. Mm-hmm. What, as a business owner, how do you keep track of that? And I could think of different tools I could use, but I guess I'm asking you, what is it that you do to remember those things?
You know, it's pretty cool in that my team is to the point now where they do it retroactively, week in and week out, where they're reminding themselves and each other about these principles. But I get what you're saying. I mean, what you're saying is look, when we've got a billion things that we're working on day in and day out, mm-hmm. How do you go back to, you know, why we do what we do, right?
Right.
Well, the yeah. thing is if you do not have them constantly going back to the reason why they do what they do, they're going to begin to ask themselves, why the freak do I do what I do? This is stupid. Okay. Why do I take the phone home at night and answer the phone? I don't have a life right now. The technicians are freaking babies, right? All they do is complain, and they're calling me at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. And side note, technicians that are listening, you guys, this is just an example, right? People in the office do this all the time. They're like, oh my gosh, I go home and I dream about my work. I mean, that is not healthy, right? Stuff like that, where you have to sit them down and go, wait a minute. Why are we doing all this?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing all this? We're doing this because we're serving the service minded. They need us. Okay. If we don't help them, who does? Right. Right. If the economy really is taking a downturn and customers are really being more shoppers, who is going to help them through that if not us?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the leader must stop whatever they're doing, because the most important thing is to rally the troops. This is why we're doing what we're doing, you guys. This is why we're doing what we're doing, okay? So that's why you're answering the phone at nights and you're talking to your technicians. This is why you're dreaming about it. And you actually are okay with the fact that you're dreaming about it. In fact, you're glad because you love it, right? You're excited about it. Why? Because you believe in the thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
How hard you work, how long it takes, what you're being paid doesn't matter if you believe in what you're doing.
Hmm.
If you don't, then guess what? I work too hard. I don't get paid enough. And this is ridiculous.
Yeah. I agree. What happens if you have someone on your team that just won't come around?
I think you know the answer to that question.
You got to get rid of them.
Or change their position.
Release them onto new opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Changing positions. I like that thought process, but I feel like everybody on the team must have the same buy-in as far as, this is us. Like I have a guy that, just is all the way, just drank the Kool-Aid, and he had a new, technician do a ride along with him and just was not very positive person. Just everything was very negative. And, he was like, look, this isn't, that's what you're doing. That's not the service emperor way of doing things. And, you're either going to have to buy into the service emperor way of doing things, or you're gonna have to move on to new opportunities, because I don't want to have a callback behind you because somebody's angry or because you didn't do what they expected to do, because everybody expects the same thing from all of us, because that's the service emperor way of doing things, consistency.
Yeah.
And so for me, and that person that he actually was working with was a very good technician, but didn't have a great outlook on just life in general, and didn't last very long with us because nothing was ever positive at all in his conversation, in his demeanor. There was never anything positive. And it was more to things than just work for him. And I even reached out to some group counselors, some family counselor, and just offered to pay for him to just go talk to him. Nothing, wow. no strings attached. Just, hey, look, you go talk to these people, get stuff off your chest. He was like, nah, I'll pass. I'm not that type of person to go talk to those people. I was like, okay.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
But I did want to give a shout out to Mike Mayberry. Great, great, great dude. If you don't know Mike Mayberry, he's on Instagram. And he's part of a very large company out Southwest. And one of the things he mentions is that, they do shout outs, on an internal company chat board. They also hand out, they give out cash awards, tools, gifts, gift cards, with the shout out. And then he also mentioned that, and shout outs are part of their daily routine. So they don't wait until their weekly meeting to do it, which is also good because then you don't forget about it.
Nice. Nice. So we were talking about delegating.
Writing everything down.
100. What did you say? What if we had 100 tasks on the wall?
Yeah.
Great. Put them on the wall. Don't take any of those. So you put one task that you do on a day-to-day basis on a sticky and you put it on the wall. When it's on the wall, you don't take it off until you've delegated to somebody else. Okay. Some are going to need some hand-holding. Some are not. But either way, you get to the, now here's the crazy thing. What if you did have 100 stickies on your wall, Tersh, and I were to say to you, okay, you can take one back. Which one would it be? Now, if you've got 100 stickies, that's going to be a really hard thing for you to do. But the question is what do you really, really love? And that's one way to determine what you really, really love.
Yeah.
Right. And we certainly don't want to take that one thing away that you love. Right.
True.
I mean, for me, I love training. Love getting in a, technician uniform and mix it up with technicians and show them how easy this is and how fun it could be, you know?
Right.
Same thing with the CSR, sit down with them and showing them, look, you can book these calls. You really can. Let's book them. Right. And they go, what about this? And I say, hey, let's try it. And we show them how to do it. And they're like, oh my gosh, that is so easy. Yeah. It's cool. See, that sort of thing I love doing. So there's certain things I don't want to take away, things that fulfill me, but all the other stuff that I don't really like to do anyway, man, there are ambitious people on your team. Give them something to do so they stick around.
Now, what happens if you don't have those people on your team? Is it okay to delegate some of those things to an outsource, like a
of course
third party? Of course.
For example, Power Selling Pros. Hey, we need our team trained and held accountable on a regular basis. Let's do that. Maybe there's an outside accounting firm. Maybe there's an outside marketing firm. Maybe there's an outside, you name it. Yes, of course, definitely outsource it, and maybe even. Fill some jobs, right? Maybe
good point.
take a look at the marketplace and see what's out there and who's looking for something new. Maybe you'll get somebody from another company who's looking to move up, but their boss, their employer, isn't giving them the same opportunities. So that'd be a way to do it. But once you've done this, now you have the ability, right? The thing that we were talking about in the last podcast, which is how do we start working on our business as opposed to in it? Now you have the ability to work on your business.
Right.
Right.
And that leads into step five, which is, you know, what you're doing to work on your business. Now, as a business owner, do you see business owners out there who they're not interested in working on the business? They'd rather work in the business.
Sure.
And at that point, they need to hire someone else to work on the business.
Yeah. So this is where rocket fuel comes in, right? If you decide that you're more of an integrator than you are a visionary, like where you like keeping your hands dirty and doing the work and finding out how to get things done, cool. Guess what? You need to find somebody who can see what's possible in the future and let them play that role. So yeah,
that's hard to do. All right, well, now I have a boss basically because I have, you know, someone who's giving these grandiose ideas that I have to implement.
He can't be your boss, or she. This person has to be your partner.
Like a legit business partner? And you have to have defined
roles. Yeah. I mean, no, but partner in that these are your roles.
Yeah.
And these are my roles.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Right? Don't step on me. I won't step on you, right?
Right.
Stay in your lane. I'll stay in mine. let me give an example of that. Lindsay Wood is my operations manager, and she is phenomenal. I'm not going to say her name again. She's really, really good. from an operational standpoint, I cannot do it without her. Okay. I'm full of hot air. It's going to be amazing. We're going to change the world. This is what we're going to do. You guys, this is why it's so important. It's so great. Hot air, bro. Uh-huh. Hot air. Until she comes in and says, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And she works night and day to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I need her, right? I need her. So
you
need that integrator or team of integrators. You know, Barry Gates, also phenomenal integrator. Just phenomenal. Been with me since the beginning.
How do we determine at what point in the business life cycle we hire those individuals? What do you say?
As soon as you're sick of all the tasks that you're doing.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to have an 80-hour job? You've created yourself an 80-hour-a-week job. Congratulations. This is why you did it, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%. That's why.
So as soon as you're sick of the grind, hey, it's time. And maybe it should come sooner than you think.
Huh. Okay.
So
what are you working on once you've hired that person to do these other things?
Okay. So feel free to keep one, right? You can keep one of those stickies.
Yeah.
Right. And I realize realistically, it's probably going to be more like 3 to 5. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I say one because I know it's going to be 3 to 5. so now you're going to focus in on customer acquisition, customer retention, and then customer experience. All right. Now.
So let me ask you this. That's step five. Okay.
Yeah.
Repeat those again for anybody that's listening.
All five or just.
Oh, No. The three. Yeah.
Yeah. So customer acquisition, getting more customers, customer retention, keeping the customers we've got, and customer experience, making sure that the customers we have are having an amazing experience.
Okay, so those three things, they are step five on this.
Correct.
These five steps. To me, I feel like we need the customer acquisition, the customer retention, and the customer experience before I can afford to have another person to delegate these tasks to. Like like, I can't wait until the end of this process to be able to do these things. I feel like they're almost like the things I need to do first.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I mean, in a way you're like, okay, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, or the egg or the chicken?
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, look, I'm not going to argue that you should always be focused in on customer acquisition, retention, and experience, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is it's a very powerful thing when that is all you're focused on. Okay.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay. So the powerful thing about focus is that your subconscious has like a flashlight inside, right? And you have all this data inside your head, and that flashlight goes to the thing that you're focused on and shines a light on it. And all I'm saying is that it is a very powerful thing when that light stays shining on acquisition, retention, and experience. Okay,
so you're not having to worry about approving payroll or going
exactly having to talk to a customer,
buying
some media, having to write somebody up, having to take care of a customer issue, having to everything that you do inside the business.
Okay,
so now I've got everybody doing basically everything. I have free time to focus in on one specific thing for a long period of time. This is how we do it.
Oh no. That is hilarious. So Brigham says, all right, this is how we do it. And then he cuts off. That would be my look. Oh, so for anybody that's watching this, one of the things that we really talked about last week at the end, we were talking about dealing with anxiety and depression. And I wanted to make sure I brought this back up again this week so that people are listening and really grasp how important this is to stop the S in the word stop means smile, choose to smile. The moments are always around you, and it's always showtime. You always need to smile, even if you're not in the smiling mood. Time, choose when and what time you're in. Are you focusing on the present? Are you dreaming about the future? Are you thinking about the past, whether the past was great or the past was terrible, and you're just hyper-focused on that? Choose to be in the present and right now. And then opposition. We always have the O's for opposition. So we always have some sort of opposition. One of the greatest things that happened to me was whenever I quit dealing or really worrying about and focusing on our competition and how those opposing forces really affected our business, and really focused on the opposition that really is affecting our business and not worrying about the competition. And that really, really helped skyrocket our business and the peace of mind in my brain as well. And P is for peace, which is, Brigham's back. You are one of the things that Brigham said last week about P. And I was going through the STOP acronym.
Oh, cool.
But peace, peace. You are not your wins and you're not your losses. So because the fact that you aren't your losses also means that you're not your wins, which was a kind of a brain shattering thing for me, because there's times where I'm like, oh yeah, I did X, Y, and Z, which that was a great thing to do. And the fact that if you're not going to be your losses, then you're not your wins either. So realizing that really brings out that peace. So
So I added, you're a child of God. That's who you are.
Yeah.
That's who you are. If you ever question who you are or why you're here, that's who you are. So your value is built in before you came.
Yeah. Okay.
Step
what
five.
Were we talking about? Yeah.
Step five.
That's right. That's right.
Customer acquisition, customer retention, and customer experience. So financing options, have more than one. Usually when I work with a contractor, they've got Wells Fargo. Stop it. You should have 10 different options that a customer can choose. They like financing. You should have a bunch of different options. And if you spent all of your time on it, focus, guess what? You can find yourself a lot of different options talking to contractors, your friends. They all have tons of options. Find out where they're at. Find out where you can get them all set up, and you might have yourself another job to do right real quick. And you got to delegate that job to somebody else as soon as you perfected it. And your goal is for them to do it about as 80% as well as you can do it. And you give it to them.
So even like you're at step five, and then you've created a new job or new task for yourself. Your focus is to, as quickly as possible, delegate that task off to someone else.
Yes. Why? Because you've got to start focusing in on customer retention. Best way to
I think that's what I've done in the past, where like I've gotten to step five, maybe not perfectly done all of the steps, but I think I've gotten to step five and then created another task for myself, and then I own that task forever. Like I never let that task go because I've already delegated everything else that I was doing to someone. And so like, why delegate more?
and you need to feel like, you know, you need to feel valuable, right? You need to feel like there's a reason why you're around, so you keep doing it.
Well, there's some ego involved there too.
Oh, sure. If you love it, keep doing it.
Right.
If you don't love it, my friend, I'm not going to be very excited about financing options.
Okay? Oh yeah, right. Totally. Like,
so you know. I'm definitely going to create a job and delegate it off.
What happens to the team whenever you're constantly delegating things to them? Do you see that becoming demoralizing to a team, or does a team say, "Oh yes, like I can do this even better than you. I'm going to take ownership of this and run with it."
Okay, so this is where your operator comes in. Okay, an integrator is going to say, "Okay, chill out." Right? Chill out. It's a great idea. You're way over here and we're still back here. Right? We're still back here. So slow down. Right? So we're going to take this step, and we're going to get there. Right? And so I have the idea. And what she does is she takes that idea and decides whether the idea is crap.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Because there's crap out there. Right?
Oh, sure.
I'm throwing all kinds of stuff at the wall. Million miles a minute. Right. She grabs the stuff that makes sense and she goes, okay, here are the steps I'm going to take to fill that.
Yeah.
And so she methodically, through her process, fills that position, fills that idea that seems right to the rest of the group. Right. So that's where your operator comes in.
Okay.
Does that answer?
That's the one. That's the one. It says, no. Or, let's take some time on this one.
Yeah.
Because it's easy for me to dream things. Like I have a whiteboard that's actually right in front of me here. And just like ideas are just scribbled all the way to the bottom. It's from the ceiling to the floor whiteboard. And there's stuff scribbled all the way down it. And it's like, I wrote that last year. We still haven't done that yet. And then it's like, it doesn't even make sense to do that currently in our business.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And so there's when I wrote it down, I'm like, oh yeah, we could do this in 3 months. And that was like over a year ago and it's not even started process.
Here's one thing that I found out about myself, and this is feedback coming from my operator, right? Just being honest with me. I have a tendency to not just think of an idea, but I've already gone over it in my head so many times, like throughout the night, that I've already sold myself on the idea that it's a good idea and that it's going to change the world for us.
Yep.
And so by the time I get to the operator and say, hey, here's my idea, I've already got all the objections.
Oh yeah. And you take offense to it whenever they say, no, that's a terrible idea. Like, wait a minute. I figured it out in my head already. I know this guy.
So realizing that I don't just have an idea. I have an idea that I've actually vetted inside my head 1,000 times over. So I'm so salesy about the idea that it's really hard for them to say no, because they're almost sold on the idea. It sounds so good.
Right.
Right. Because I've practiced in my head
all the objections,
all of the different scenarios that could possibly come up when I present the idea, even though it could be a freaking terrible idea.
Now, so how many times has it been a terrible idea and she or he has said, no, that's a terrible idea? Or do they just say, okay, let's take it and look at it, and then a week later, they're like, I've worked it out and it's just a terrible idea.
I don't know if I want my operator to listen to this one. I think my ideas stick about 20% of the time.
Okay. Good to hear. I'm glad to hear that, because there are times where I have ideas and Julie's like, that's not going to work. Like, that can't work. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, sure, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. She's like, well, you're not communicating all the steps then. Like, well, that's probably more likely what's going on.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Self-awareness, mm-hmm. extremely important. And if you don't have it, you've got to lean on your team, on your operators to say, hey.
And get your ego out the way. Like, when you are, because there are times where my service manager, and it's 1,000% my fault on how I say things to him, because we are very like blunt with each other, but he says something to me and then I'll say, nah, that's not gonna work. Or I'll say, all right, we need to implement this pricing structure or whatever. And he's like, immediately, like, no. And then about an hour later, he's like, you know what? You're right. I didn't want to see it right then. I was like, oh, I'm glad that's okay. Cause I'll say something to him and he'll do the same thing to me. And he knows, and I know that what we're about to have, the conversation we're about to have, is a tough conversation. And we both have our immediate reaction. And then we wait about an hour before we follow up our conversation. We're like, we're going to take about an hour lunch break, and then we'll have a follow-up conversation here. And then we come back with super clear heads and we're like, you make a good point. Here's my objections, if I have objections. Or, and so it's wild how that works between the two of us. I have learned over the past several years to come with facts, very just, all right, this is the facts of the situation. There's no emotion involved in the situation for me. This is a tough conversation because it's one of your people that I'm talking about. Like, it's, so he's like, I'm going to bat for my technician type thing. And I'm like, look, we're on the same team. I have no emotion in this. These are just the KPIs and we're not doing great here in this situation. And he's like, yeah, but we're doing great over here in this other situation. I'm like, no, we're not doing great over there either. We're just doing better than we're doing over here, which is bad. And then he's like, after a few minutes and like actually looking at it, he's like, you know, you're right. I was like, I know. But just let's not have emotion involved in this conversation. That's the hardest thing as humans, becoming very emotional, and especially the ownership of that position. That's his position, and he goes to bat for his technicians. And so I love every bit of that. Like, I want him to do that 100%. But I have to know how to talk to him in a way that's like, all right, we're gonna put up our swords and we're gonna put up our shields, and then we're not going to get stabbed and we're going to protect ourselves. And then at the end of this conversation, you know, we'll be good to go. And I have to I used to take offense to it. And I would be like very offended that he was taking their side and not mine, if that makes sense. Uh-huh. And then I learned his personality and I learned my personality. And I learned that I just have to take my emotion and just check it at the door 100%. And then we'll work it out between the two of us.
The benefit is that he cares.
Yeah, 100%. That's the thing about it. It's like, if he didn't care, like if it was just everything was a personal attack on him, that'd be one thing. But it's he could care less if you attacked him. It's attack on his guys, and he's like, no, I'm gonna stab somebody over them. So like, okay, go, I get it.
Yeah, when people are wearing company shirts to bed.
Right.
Or when they're going to school meetings.
Yeah.
Or, you know, uh-huh. with their company shirts on.
Oh yeah. Or the kids have them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, they're in, and that's what you want. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you want. So customer acquisition, start with financing. Give lots of financing options. Customer retention, service agreements. have options for your customers. Your objective is to keep them, right? You're agreeing to serve them for a long period of time. So crack the code on it, right? Just crack the code with your team and sell the heck out of these things. So that regardless of where the market's at or whether there's a downturn or what have you, you've got plenty of people to work with to get you through the shoulder season, especially if the shoulder season feels like it's all season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's service agreements. And lastly, customer experience. If you are constantly reviewing what is being said about you online.
I love that you said that. What happens if everything that's said online just happens to be great, but you still feel like the customer experience isn't great?
Yeah. So this is when we sit down with our technicians and our comfort advisors and say, hey, we need to dig a little deeper. Right? Everybody's saying we're awesome. So we're probably pretty darn good. You guys agree? Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're pretty darn good. Okay, cool. How do we become awesome? How do we get them to say things that maybe they didn't share online? You know what? We probably don't even want them to share online. What if we had a team that called them at this point? Look, if I only got good reviews, and it's very seldom I only get good reviews or I see good reviews from my clients. But if you've only got great reviews, let's take it offline with them one-on-one. I'd have one person calling out. Maybe I help them in the beginning and just start asking the customer questions. Hey, you said that it was great. Yeah, it was so great. It's fantastic. The way they took care of me yesterday, rolled out the red carpets. It was awesome. They wore their booties and they were so happy and kind and wonderful and nice. Awesome. What's one thing do you think could have been better? If there's anything, and even if you're nitpicking, oh, I don't know. Well, I guess they, you know, they could have left the place a little bit cleaner. Yeah. Oh, what do you mean by that? Well, just
left a little trash.
Grab a couple things.
Yeah.
Their booties were on the side. It was no big deal. I mean, they took such great care of me. I didn't care, but they did leave some booties on the side there. And okay, cool. I love it. I love that feedback. That's fantastic. Yeah. Right. Cool thing about it is it didn't go online.
That's right.
Right. So you have one person and look, the only thing we're looking for is trends here. Trends.
Good point. So you're not going to bring up, okay,
isolated incidents.
Johnny, you left your booties over there. Don't do that again. But if you see every single time Johnny's leaving booties on the side of the house, then you're like, all right, Johnny, we have a trend going on here. They love you, but you're leaving your trash out.
Yeah. And again, it's not going to be me that does it all the time. I will create a job. Somebody will do it if I feel a job is needed.
So,
and that's just an example of customer experience. The point is, focus on the customer experience. Shine your light on it, the one inside your head, for 8 hours just on customer experience, and watch what happens.
Do you spend? Okay, you mentioned 8 hours there. Do you spend 8 hours on customer experience, and then the next day you spend it on customer acquisitions? The next day,
it all depends. I mean, it's just an example, right? If we spend a usual 8 hour day in the business working, right? 10 hour day, 12 hour day working in the business. All I'm saying is watch what happens when you just focus in on one thing for 8 hours. Let me give you an example of that real quick. Okay. So when my company plateaued at about, what was it? It was like 300 trainees. I had 300 trainees for 3 years for, I don't know, it was back in 2010, I think it was. And I couldn't get past it. I couldn't get past 300 trainees. It was ridiculous. And so I hired a coach. Crazy thing, coaching company hires a coach. Hired this coach. First thing he does is he says, I'm going to be with you on Monday, but I'm not going to go to your office. I'm going to go to your house. I'm like, what? You know, really quickly, this is sounding like, you know, a man living down by the river. we're gonna be buddies. We're gonna be friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I was a little uncomfortable with that. So I said, oh, okay, fine. Whatever. Dude, at my house, kids are at school anyway.
Uh-huh.
So he comes to the house and he says, "All right, turn off your phone," and we start working. And what's interesting is he asked me a question. Okay, how do you want? What's stopping you from growing your business? Well, it's my team. Okay, what is it about your team? Well, and then of course he'd get past all that crap. How, why, and then finally
just
I realized.
Peeling the onion back.
Yeah, it's me. It's me. Mm-hmm. And so by the time we were done at the end of the day, I had stickies all over my freaking house. And I'm talking those oversized, stickies.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I have one sitting right over here.
Yeah. And so after about 6 months of this, I realize with him, with his assistance, that I am the problem.
Yeah, and, get out your own way.
Exactly. And in fact, this is where this kind of delegating that I'm talking about in the book, Something to Give, began. This is kind of where it was born. This is what I did. This is what he helped me do with these stickies, is get out of my own way. And I had to change. In order for the company to grow, I needed to grow. And we had to focus on it long enough for me to recognize that.
Yeah. So how you were going, you were doing that every week on, say, a Monday.
Mondays.
For yeah. 8 hours on a Monday.
Yeah.
For like 6 months.
Yeah. And I was definitely back then, you know, playing specific roles inside the business.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I was working in the business as opposed to on it. So okay, he forced me to work on it on Mondays.
So here's what I did a couple years back, and I've gotten lax over the past year, maybe even year and a half. And I think I can see that very vividly in my operations and things. But on I used to network a lot. Like pre-COVID, I was the president of the Small Business Chamber of Savannah. I was on the executive board of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I worked with the Georgia Police Canine Foundation. There's something else. And anyways, I was on these tons of boards, and I networked a lot. And because I did those executive roles, I had a lot of people who wanted me to come to their events. They would do like grand opening events and everything else. And I found myself every single afternoon driving to town to go to these events to network, because I felt like networking is what our business needed to get out there and get in the public's eyes, because Service Emperor wasn't a thing until 2020. So like that, like I felt like all of that time I needed to be there to make sure everybody knew about us and everything. And one of the things that I learned was I'm I'll do it. And I just make it happen and stress myself out. One of the things, some life coaches of ours, mine and my wife, they said that, your relationship is like a rubber band, and you keep putting things in here. 'Cause we also have, we have three boys and a girl, and they all play travel sports, other than our daughter, which did gymnastics. And we were just, as we were expanding our relationship with this rubber band, they said, you're going to keep expanding it. And then what's going to happen is it's going to be get to the point to where it is stretched out or snaps. And if it snaps, that's your divorce. That's a divorce. And you're just a very ending relationship event. Or you go back, you take everything out of there, and you get that rubber band. And the only thing that's going to pull it all back together is heat, which is a very deep conversation, a opening conversation. What you've got to learn how to do is say no to people. And I'm like, yeah, but we're both people pleasers, both of us.
Yeah.
And the way that I learned how to say no was allowing my schedule to say no for me. So on Mondays and Fridays, I worked on the business, not in the business. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I worked in the business. And then Wednesdays is podcast days. So if somebody wanted to podcast on a Friday, I'm like, I don't podcast, but on Wednesdays. And then if somebody wanted me to go to a networking event on a Monday, I don't work in the business on Mondays or Fridays or Wednesdays. I only work on it Tuesdays and Thursdays. So if your networking event's not on a Tuesday or Thursday, I'm not coming to it. So it allowed me to say no. And I really was able to focus on things on the Mondays and Fridays a lot more detail, because I was able to say no on the other days. And so I don't know, that's one of the things that kind of similar to what you're saying, like Mondays and Fridays, I was really able to focus on growing the business and doing the step five stuff almost.
Totally.
But I slacked off on that the past year and a half, 2 years, and have allowed myself to run a service call on a Wednesday.
Aha.
you know.
So you get sucked back into tasks.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Happens to everybody. Happens to everybody. Just, so those are the five steps.
Yep.
Making sure you're the only one going out, number one, right? Uh-huh. Make sure you have you're the only one going out to the customer's home by holding your team accountable is number one. Number two is have a vision. If you were the visionary, you know where we're going. You can see the company from 30,000 feet up. Make sure that you have operators, people that can integrate. And if you're an integrator, find yourself a visionary. Number three, discover the strengths and talents on your team. Meet with them, find out where they want to be in 3 to 5 years, and see if you can't modify that goal of theirs, that 3 to 5 year goal that they have, and make you and your company part of that 3 to 5 year goal. And then number four is delegate your tasks off to your team to keep them engaged and growing inside your company. And it also gives you the ability and the freedom to work on your business, which includes three very important things you should be focused in on, which is customer acquisition, customer retention, and customer experience. You do these five things, all of which are outlined in the book, Something to Give. You'll find that at brighamdickinson.com. You can pre-order it now. It's coming out September 19th. We'll have an audio version as well. But hey, Trish, we did it. Five steps.
We did it. We made it. Brigham, I appreciate you hanging out with us. I mean, honestly, everything that you do, every time I see you in person, you know, you're just such a positive person. We could be like completely exhausted at an expo. And then Brigham's like, hey man, let's keep going. Like great day. We're having a great day. I'm like, Brigham, I've walked 12,000 steps today. And you're like, yeah, man, but you have the ability to walk 12,000 steps. You know, I'm like, I appreciate it, man. I really do. So if anybody has any questions about the book, brighamdickinson.com, if you need help with your CSRs, with training, Power Selling Pros, reach out to them. I use them personally, and I love them. I get great feedback, whether it's we need to work on this or, you know, Connor did an amazing job this week or whatever. It's been great. And watching Connor go through those steps where she's moved up the different levels and stuff, which is a really cool concept as well. Don't hesitate to reach out to the team over at Power Selling Pros. But if you have any questions for me, servicebusinessmastery.com. We have the little ticker at the bottom of the box that or the bottom of the screen that you can record a question or a comment, and it comes straight to Josh and myself. And if you have any questions for Brigham, don't hesitate to reach out to his team. One thing I noticed, Brigham, there was something that was just off the past 2 weeks that it was like, man, what is just something is off. And then I looked at your website and I was like, it's your beard. You shaved it, and I'm like, okay, I get it now.
I could tell you the story behind that.
Okay,
real quick. Maybe we end with that.
Yeah.
So last year, my son's part of a wrestling team, and the wrestling team came over to the house to hang out, and they were literally there for 5 minutes. As soon as I came to the kitchen, they kind of ushered themselves out of the house. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, what the freak is going on? And so I asked Isaac, hey, dude, do I stink? What the freak is the deal? And he's like, yeah. Don't worry about it, Dad. I said, no, I'm worried about it. 'Cause as soon as I went in the kitchen, they ushered themselves out. They bounced out of there. What the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And he said, well, they're kind of intimidated by you. And I'm like, what do you mean intimidated by me? Like some of those guys are bigger than I am. What do you mean?
Right.
This is the wrestling team for heaven's sake. Yeah. And he said, Dad, I think it's the beard.
So really?
That night I grabbed a razor and that was it. Done.
Invite
your friends back. I don't have a beard.
Yeah. I'm friendly, Dad, not intimidating, Dad.
Yeah. Last thing I want is for kids to be intimidated. And so, I mean, I hang out at the wrestling room all the time, and I want them to feel like they can come to me and ask questions.
You know, it's funny. I deal with the same thing with my son's friends on the baseball team and football team. They are very much like, I think your dad's in the mafia. I'm like, so then I intentionally go and joke with them and hang out with them and just, you know, make fun of them and like, y'all just be easy around me. And like, it was something that I was like, okay, I get it. Like, I understand the perception that you have. So I want to make sure I break through those barriers for sure. The last time I shaved my face though, my daughter started crying and she was like, nah, oh, dad. No. Nah. But she was also like 2 or 3 years old at that time too. And she had never seen me without a beard. So yeah, that was.
I get it. I've had a beard for 20 years. So as soon as Isaac graduates, it's coming back.
There you go. Brigham, man, I really appreciate you hanging out with us and everything.
You bet. Thanks for the opportunity, Tersh.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you guys later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.